Blog Talk Radio.
The broadcast of Kingdom Builders International, and we're so delighted to be able to bring forth the man of God once more, Apostle Flowers from Restoring the Brief Ministries. And I just bless God for what God is doing in the lives of his people. This is Prophetess Teresa Docks, and once again, I am truly excited. For I know that God is moving by his spirit, and God is doing something new in the lives of his people. And as I listen to the testimonies that I'm hearing from believers, how God is bringing them closer, a closer walk with Him. So once again, I'm excited about being here tonight, and we're going to not prolong the time, but I'm going to cover the man of God with a word of prayer. And I thank you, Apostle Flowers, for your faithfulness to God and what you are doing for the kingdom of God. Well, Father God, I thank you for who you are in our lives. And we thank you, Lord God, for another broadcast with Apostle Flowers. Father, I ask you right now that you would just cover him with the blood of Jesus, everything that concerns him, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, as he delights himself in you, that you're giving him the desires of his heart. And Father, I ask you to just cover him, keep him, Lord God, and as he opens up his mouth, allow your people who are called by your name to hear what you're saying in such a time as this. Father, we thank you, we adore you, we love you, and we just thank God for you, Apostle Flowers. In the name of Jesus, we release the lines to you at this time, Apostle.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. We give glory and praise and honor unto God. Thank God for the internet listeners, those that are streaming live, those that are listening by cell phones or by the landline. We thank God for you. I want you to be in high expectation on tonight. Anything when it comes to the things of God, anytime when it comes to receiving and hearing from God, God wants to be in high expectation and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And the word of God said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you got to have some kind of faith, something that God can work with in order for God to be able to move and to operate and to work in your life. God moves on the principles of faith. And so we have to have faith, whether your faith may be small right now because of the things that you're going through, but that's good. That's good that you're giving God something to be able to work with by you having some faith. And then some of you may have, your faith may be strong in the things of God. You're believing God, you're holding fast to God's word and what he said concerning you and what he promised you. You're standing firm on God's word. You're being sure-footed concerning the word of God and what God has said to you. And you're being unmovable, unshakable, and you're abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. But Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, Lord. Thank you for the prayers going forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, concerning me, Lord, even as I bring the word forth. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that the anointing, God, begin to break and destroy the yokes, God, those that are listening, God, through the airways, Lord, in the name of Jesus, through the internet, Father, right now, through their cell phones and landlines, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let your anointing begin to flow because it is your anointing that makes a difference, God. It's nothing like your presence, Lord. Let the anointing of fire be released, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to stir your people up on tonight. Begin to activate them, God. Begin to charge them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And especially those whose faith may be low on tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord. Give them a faith booster right now. Give them a shot, a jolt right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, of your power, of your anointing, of your spirit, Lord. Lord, elevate those people's faith on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Those that seem like they've been going through a storm, a battle, like been drained and a lot's been taken out of them, God, in the name of Jesus. Things that have caused, they've been just received, just hearing bad news after another, or this been happening, that been happening, one thing after another, which is trying to tear down their faith. The word of God says that Satan comes to wear out the saints, so he comes to wear out their, you know, wear out our faith, wear us out in the spirit, so that we can throw in the towel and not believe God, so that we can doubt him and not receive what God has promised for our life or abort what God has given us. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you on tonight, God, for an increased level of faith on tonight, God, that you're elevating us. You're elevating your people, Lord. You're taking them into another place, another dimension. That's what this thing is all about. Lord, you want us to use what we have in our hand, God. You want us to use what we got in the name of Jesus. Father, I release, Lord, notable miracles, creative miracles, God, supernatural miracles, Lord, on this line on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, on the airways, Father, or those that are listening, God, in the name of Jesus, at the sound of my voice, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let a creative miracle take place, God, a healing miracle take place in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the angels of the Lord, God, that are released right now, God, that are warring on behalf of the people of God, the warring angels in the spirit, in the name of Jesus, that they are not fighting this battle alone. Your word declares that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will be with us always, even unto the end of the ages. And I know sometimes when we're going through things, God, we feel like that we're by ourselves. I know sometimes we experience rejection and hurt and people that turn their back on us and broken promises and disappointments and so on. We get so beat down and feel so down to the point it just seems like we are alone. But we have this promise from you, God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you said that will not leave us comfortless. We thank you for the comforter right now. Someone needs the comforter right now and tonight in the name of Jesus, or this morning in the name of Jesus, those that may could be listening overseas in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're comforting right now. Father, you're bringing peace right now, shalom, in the name of Jesus. Shalom. I speak shalom right now to your circumstances. I speak shalom right now to your mind. Someone's been tormented in the mind. I speak shalom right now. I command every tormenting spirit to go in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the chains of bondage being broken right now, the yokes of bondage being broken right now. For, Lord, you are a deliverer in the name of Jesus. And, Father, even on tonight, God, we repent, Lord, for the omissions and the commissions of our sin. We don't want anything to hinder us from receiving what you have for our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want everything that you have promised us, everything that you have ordained for our life, God. We want to walk it out. We want to receive it. But, Lord, most of all, we want to be in alignment with it. We want to be in alignment with your word, God, so that we can receive what you have for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we love you and we adore you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just don't want to be just from our hearing, Lord, just be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't want to be ones just sitting back, not doing anything, just getting fat, soaking up the word of God, soaking up everything, just being a consumer in the house of God, be the one on the receiving and always receiving, 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 but never giving nothing back. Lord, we don't want to be like that, God. We want to be able to give back. You said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto our bosom, Lord. Even as we are giving, God, give back out in the name of you, that as you have blessed us, that as you have gifted us and talented us, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we begin to use that for the glory and for the kingdom of God. And, Lord, that you will increase it, Lord, in the name of you, like you did with the talents, Lord. You increase those that was faithful, Lord, in that which they have had, God. They used it, God, in the name of Jesus, and it brought forth more. And that's what we want to do, because you are God of productivity, God. In the name of Jesus, it pleases you, Father, that we produce much fruit. And we thank you for pruning and taking a lot of fruit away. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God. Amen and amen. Well, bless God. Praise God. Thanks to God. Thank God for you. Thank God for this opportunity to be able to minister the word of God to you. Thank God again for Prophetess Teresa, the founder, and also Evangelist Hannah, the host. And thank God just for being on to minister. It's a blessing, saints of God. You just don't know it's a blessing to be on this side. And when I say this side, is to be on the Lord's side, as it was said in the Old Testament. Who want to be on the Lord? Who want to be on this side, on the Lord's side, or who want to be on this side? So it's a blessing to be on this side. And when you think back over your life, all the things that you've went through, that you experienced in life, how you were just out there in the world, walking in darkness, just tormented, and couldn't sleep at night, restless nights, and just doing everything under the sun, for the enemy, being in his kingdom. And see, when we're born into the world, we're born into sin, and we're shaping into iniquity. So we're born into, amen, as David said, we're born into sin. And so we have to be born again. We have to be, our spirit have to be regenerated, amen, so that we can be born into the systems, and I put it like this, the kingdom of God, and be come out of the systems of the world, because that's what we're born into, the systems of this world. We're born into Egypt when we're born. So God wants us to come out of that and be a citizen of the kingdom so that we can receive the benefits and the blessings and that which you've ordained for our life. And even though Adam had gave up the authority, he relinquished that over to Satan, and it took Jesus Christ to come back to take that authority from the enemy. And then not only that, Jesus was not even selfish when he came, because when he came, he died for the world. And not only that, he just not only died for us and paid the price for our sins, but Word of God said that we became heirs and joint heirs. He didn't have to do that. He just could have just came and died for our sins and said, hey, we don't receive. The only thing we can just receive is just salvation. That's it. But he didn't do that. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, it all belongs unto him. So it all belongs unto him, and he made us heirs and joint heirs with him, then that means we're partakers as well. Amen. We receive that as well for our life, our inheritance. Amen. You know, when someone that is rich, that is well off, and they adopt another child into the family, and that child is not the blood child or the biological child, but they take that child into their family, and that child have, you know, have their same last name. They, you know, they have the same rights and the same benefits as a biological child do. That whatever riches or whatever that they have, it belongs unto that child as well that has been adopted in. That's why the Word of God said that we have been engrafted in, we have been adopted in, so that we can receive the same blessing, the same benefits. Amen. So that's a blessing. That's an honor for our God to think of us that way. Remember, the Jews, they were the chosen people, God's chosen people. They're still God's chosen people. God had us to come in to provoke them because they had missed their day of visitation when Jesus was here. They rejected him. He said, I came into my own received me not. So the Lord turned to us, the Gentiles. And that was to provoke, amen, the Jews, because originally they were supposed to be teaching us and preaching to us the gospel. Because of the hard hardness of heart, which you read throughout the Old Testament, stiff-necked pride and so on, and that's why they kept going into captivity, because of pride, because of stubbornness, because they kept turning away from the ways of God, the things of God, breaking God's commandments and not obeying God and rebelling against God. So notice, when you study and you read even the Old Testament, that's why they kept ending up in captivity. That's why the enemies kept coming in and getting them and taking them to slavery, taking them to bondage and so on, and them being scattered because of their disobedience and rebellion. God was just doing it to get their attention and get them to turn their heart back unto him. But thank God, glory be to God, for grace. Amen. Thank God for his love and for his forgiveness, not to say to take advantage of the grace of God that God has given us. Amen. But thank God that he first loved us though we were yet sinners. Even though this is not the message that God would have me to get off into tonight, I'm just going by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is leading me. Someone need to hear this word on tonight, amen, or this morning, amen. It depends on what part or where you at, whether you're on this side of the United States or on the other side, international, across the waters, and you're listening right now. Someone needs to hear that, amen, that word. But I tell you, what I want to minister to you on tonight is you're being set up by God. God is setting you up to bless you. A lot of times we blame the enemy for the, you know, some of the things that we go through in life, and sometimes it can be God allowing things to happen. It can be God doing certain things, amen, in order to get us into that place that he wants to get us into, to bless us, because God knows us, amen, better than we know ourselves. And God knows what's best for us. And God has orchestrated and laid out a plan for our life before the foundations of this world. God had already mapped it out, laid it out, so it's just, you know, we have to follow. Amen. That map. That's why, as we're seeking him, that's how we begin to find out concerning our life, concerning what God has ordained for our life, concerning, you know, the blessings, amen, for our life and everything, all that comes through seeking him. And so that's how we begin to find out the direction for our life and everything. So that's what the Word of God said, man, ought to always pray and faint not, and to pray without ceasing. And even as we do that, then God begin to reveal his purposes and his plan concerning, you know, our life and everything. But in Genesis, if you go with me, I'm going to get, you know, pretty much be ministering a lot out of Genesis on tonight. So if you just go with me to the Word of God, Genesis 37, starting at the 17th verse, and I want to talk about Joseph, and I know many of you are familiar with the story of Joseph. If there are those of you that may be listening, you're not familiar with Joseph, you may be new, or somebody may have invited you to, you know, to listen in, to stream this broadcast, or to call in, and you may not even heard this before, you may not be saved, And I just pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the eyes of understanding, Lord, will be enlightened, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your people's spirit will be open even to receive the word of God, Lord, even as the word is going forth, in the name of Jesus. I commend every spirit that would come to try to block our spirits from receiving what you have for us, Lord, that our spirits will be open, Lord, to hear and to see what the Spirit of the Lord have to say unto us, the church. It's not the building that we go into. Amen. We are the church. Amen. We are the building. We are the church. Amen. That's who you're speaking to, Lord, us, the church. You're not speaking to bricks and stones and mortar. You're not speaking to wood and stone and everything. You're speaking to living beings. We are the lively stone, as your word says. And we thank and we praise you. And Lord, we thank you for good ground, Lord, on tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 37, again, going back to Joseph, the story of Joseph and Joseph being born, and Joseph, a promise was made to Joseph through a dream. Many of you are familiar with the dream that Joseph had concerning his family, concerning him being in a certain position, a position of authority, and how God was going to bless him, and how he had a put it like this, a taste, a snapshot of God's purpose and plan for his life. And a lot of times God's not going to reveal the whole picture to us. That's why when it comes to the prophetic, it said we know in part. We prophesy in part. God don't give us the full picture. And I believe that God does it that way because God don't want us to get it lifted up in pride. God don't want us to be in a place where now we think that we know it all. And so on, and then we get to the point that we don't need him. Nobody can tell us nothing. We don't have a teachable spirit. Why? Because we see everything, and we know everything. So can nobody teach me nothing? And so that's a dangerous ground to walk on. To walk in a place like that. So that's why I believe why God shows us things in parts, and so that we can be able to seek him to get the other parts. Our life is like a puzzle. Like one man of God years ago, a particular pastor that I sat on some years ago back in the early 90s, starting out when I was truly born again. Like I said, growing up, I was brought up in the church. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with the Lord. I just saw religion all around me. Just came to church, heard the word, went back, but still was in sin, still just doing what I was doing. The normal routine. Didn't have a relationship with God. Didn't know what it was to talk to God or anything. Only thing that I knew so far as talking to God was to say the blood of Jesus when I was in trouble, to get me out of trouble. That was the only thing that I knew, concerning things about it. During that time, I would have visions and dreams and didn't have understanding of it. And at times, I would have visions of the enemy, of the devil, and of demons, and being tormented and being chased by devils and demons, man, that they would literally just cause a person to shake in their boots. And I know some of you can relate to me on tonight that you've experienced that. You've experienced, amen, seeing the demonic realm of demonic forces. And even there, they are real. The misconception that the enemy wants the world to believe, that he does not exist. He does exist, amen. So he knows that his time is short, and so he's doing whatever he can, amen, to release, the spirit of deception in the world so that no one can be able to believe that God exists and that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord, that he is the Son of God. He wants to take away from the deity of Jesus Christ. And he wants the world to believe that, again, that he's not real, he doesn't exist. His forces, but like this, his dark forces don't exist and not real. So he just wants to believe, you can medicate it, you just got a problem. You just got some issues, it's not demonically influenced. It's just, you just got some problems, let's take care by taking some Valium. Let's take care by taking some psych medicine, so to speak. Let's go and see a psychiatrist or different things like that. And, and not really, get to the root behind the matter that is something that have happened through the generational line, the bloodline, because of the sins of the Father while we experience and go through some things in life. Amen. I'm just going as the Holy Spirit is leading me on tonight. Amen. Praise God. But anyway, getting back to the Word of God here in Genesis 37 concerning Joseph. Joseph, amen, God showed him, gave him a snapshot picture concerning his purpose, concerning his destiny, just as God has did with many of you. You have received the word of the Lord concerning your purpose, concerning destiny, concerning business or whatever it is, concerning your family, concerning relationship, whatever prophetic word that you receive in your life concerning your life. It was kind of like a snapshot picture. And even sometimes some of you that are even listening right now, God have even showed you a vision or a dream concerning those things that you're going to be doing in him, traveling or so on. And I want to use myself for an example. I remember years ago when God had called me, it was time for me to answer the call of ministry. And at the age of 18, when God called me, I had a supernatural encounter with him. And it was not too long afterwards when I began, my pastor during that time began to teach me how to seek the face of God and how to have a relationship with him. And as I began to do that and pray and know what it was to have a relationship, with the Lord, and I began. The Lord began to slowly but surely begin to reveal Himself to me in vision. I began to have visions. I began to have dreams concerning my purpose and my destiny, what the Lord has called me for. And I began to. God began to show me visions of ministering in large churches. God began to show me ministering in places that I didn't even know where I was at. Just standing on a platform and ministering to the multitude and going various places and so on, and also even ministering out of the gifts of the Spirit. As well as the Lord was showing me in these visions, ministering and so on. Then God began to send those to confirm the visions that I was having, confirm the ministry, confirm. God would send people to confirm, the call upon your life, confirm things that He have shown you. Basically, that because usually God would show you things first, and He would send others to confirm. And then a lot of times, if you don't have an understanding, if you don't know, then God would have a prophet or someone that walks in the prophetic dimension to come to speak the word of the Lord into your life. And then He would send two or three other witnesses to confirm the word of God. That's why God have witnesses to confirm. That's why you get confirmation. And that's why you get God with some those that don't even, you don't even have a relationship or that you don't even know. Man, that will call you out, or you may run into them out on the street. A man that knows the Lord, that has a relationship with the Lord, and begin to speak. As they're being obedient to the Lord, begin to speak the word of the Lord into your life to confirm the word. And sometimes we get discouraged and our faith is kind of low and we're going through, and usually God will send a prophetic person to come to speak the word, what He has promised you concerning your life to you. And then I begin to build your spirit, man, back up again. Why? Because the prophetic is edification, exhortation, and for comfort. And that's why we prophesy. That's why God is prophecy in the church. A lot of times when you feel like, well, this person's a prophet because they prophesy to me. They got to be a prophet. No, you have many that's not called to the office of a prophet. If you're a born-again believer, you should be able to prophesy to a certain degree. That does not make you a prophet. Man, that's why God does have prophetic people. And that's why Saul, King Saul, when he lost the anointing, he was stripped of the kingdom because of his disobedience. And he was after David. He wanted to kill David because of jealousy. And he would send his guards down. He would send his soldiers down to go to get to apprehend David, and David was down at the house of the school of the prophets, but like that he was at Samuel, and they were there prophesying, and these soldiers would go there, and then next thing you know, these soldiers would begin to prophesy. And I tell you, when you come into that atmosphere, then of the prophetic, you do have no choice but to start prophesying, man, because you're coming into that atmosphere. And so as he began to send these soldiers down, and each one, the group that he sent down, to go and apprehend David, and they would come into the prophetic atmosphere, they began to prophesy. And so Saul had to see for himself, like, what's going on here? I'm sending these soldiers down, they're not coming back, and what's them here? They go on, they prophesying, and so on. Let me go down and see what's going on. So Saul had to go himself, took some guards and went down himself. And when Saul came into the company of the prophets, Saul began to break down, fall down, began to prophesy. And he said that he began to prophesy all day and all night. He was prophesying. And they began to say, is Saul among the prophets? As to say, is he a prophet? They knew that he wasn't a prophet, and they was amazed by him prophesying. Why? But it was because he was in that atmosphere. Saints of God, whenever you come into a certain atmosphere, you begin to move in that. But getting back to the word of God, Joseph, a word was released to Joseph in Psalms, in Genesis 37. Excuse me, Genesis 37, start at the 17th verse. Get if you can, get a pad, get a pen, and just write this down so you can be able to go back and read it for yourself. And I'm just here to let you know again, saints of God, on tonight, it's a setup. God is setting you up, amen, for your purpose. God is setting you up to cause you to walk into your inheritance. God is setting you up to bless you. And God don't want you to try to analyze or try to figure things out, try to take matters and things into your own hands, say, I'm going to do this thing myself, because God is moving too slow. God is not moving quick enough, so I got to do this thing. And that's when we mess up, when we try to do it ourselves. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to get caught up in doing that. You could easily get tricked up in it because, oh, I'm waiting on the spouse and God not doing something. Well, get on the dating website, Christian singles website to get me a spouse, because God's not moving fast enough. So I'm going to make this thing happen. And so, beloved, we can't do that because then we begin to miss out. In Genesis 37:17, it says, "And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beasts have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And I know you wonder why I'm starting there. I'm going there for a reason. Saints of God, I want you to hear what was going on with Joseph and his brothers. You know, in this particular text of scripture, it was talking about how his brothers, when they saw him afar off and him coming, they said, "Oh, here come the dreamer." And you know the story of Joseph. His brothers got jealous when he shared the dream with him, the dream that he had. Amen. But let's break down the word conspire. I want to give you the definition of conspire. It means to conspire means to plan secretly to do something unlawfully. And so his brothers, they were sitting up conspiring, amen, when they saw Joseph coming far off. So they were talking about, you know, let's kill him, and say that some evil beast had came and devoured him and so on. So their intent, their thoughts of their heart was to murder their brother, was to kill that the spirit of Cain came upon them out of jealousy. That's when we know about the first murder that was committed in the beginning, Cain and Abel. It was all out of jealousy. Now, if Cain would have did what was right, God would have blessed him too. That's what God was letting him know. And it goes back to his brothers. Amen. So all his brothers had to do what was right, and God would have blessed them. But they let jealousy creep in. They let murder creep in. And I know I'm a minister to somebody on tonight. God has promised you something. God's favor rests upon you. And there have been those around you that heard the word of the Lord that God have released in your life concerning your purpose, concerning your destiny, that it was great, and how God want to bless you. God had said, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to release wealth into your hands for the purpose of my kingdom. And also that I've called you to do a great work. I've called you to go into the nations and to travel the states to minister unto the multitudes. And then all of a sudden jealousy arose because of the word. And just for some reason, you know, God had promised you, and people are upset and angry with you. You did nothing to them, and all you don't understand why people are upset with you and mad and angry with you. It's not that it's because of the favor of God that rests upon you, because God has chosen you. God's hands rest upon you, and a lot of times the enemy rise up and to come after you. You experience persecution. Amen. When the favor of God rests upon you and the blessing of God is upon you, and especially for you to receive the blessing, and especially concerning walking into a place of authority, a greater place of authority, you experience persecution. You experience being lied on, talked about, rejected, betrayed. People, you know, not too long, early in the year, when my wife and I, Prophetess Flowers and I, had experienced that in ministry and everything, and how we work with the person, and we were mentoring, kind of like working with the person, and God was using us to help bring some deliverance into this particular person's life, because they was dealing with unforgiveness and bitterness. They were walking in a realm of cursing people, because if they feel like people have crossed them, then they wanted to curse them and send the judgment of God be upon them and release some curses. So God had placed us in this particular person's life to help bring them out of that and try to bring them into a place of forgiveness and blessing. And Jesus said, curse not, but to bless. Amen. And so on and everything. And so, but I tell you, saints of God, we did the best that we could concerning this person. And I tell you, this person, that's why it shows you can be so gifted, but your character can be so messed up and so off and everything. This person was, gifted out of this world, so to speak, and everything. Then on, after, but their character was all off, like what I'm saying. They were full of bitterness. They was full of anger and, you know, retaliation within them and everything. Like I said, you can operate out of the gifts, but, man, you can be messed up. That's why we go through certain things, so God can purge us and prune us of these things, so that when people come to eat of the fruit of our tree, amen, they won't be, you know, perverted. They won't be, you know, they won't be eating rotten fruit. They won't be eating bad fruit, but that they will be eating good fruit. So God wants people to eat good fruit off of our tree. So that's why we have to have character with the gifts. That's why we have to yield forth good fruit. So this is what God was doing with Joseph. God was causing Joseph to yield forth good fruit. So Joseph was being tested. He was in a season of being tested. And those of you that listen to me at the sound, under the sound of my voice, you're in a season where you're being tested. You don't understand. You're saying, oh, you know, this is hitting me. The devil, this, the devil, that. And no, it's God, amen, testing you. Amen, taking you through a test. I'm not saying God tempting you, because God tempts no man with sin. That's the enemy that tempts man with sin. Amen. But God tests us. Amen. It's like you're in school. Now it's time to take the test. Now it's time to see what I've placed on the inside of you. To see you produce now. Let me see you some productivity take place right now. We know that David and Joseph and his brother, different ones, they were taught the word of God. It was, and you know, through history, as God told Moses, you know, when the commandments were written and everything, to pass the word down, you know, all the way back from Egypt, before the commandments were even written, that they would remember this, tell this story from generation to generation, that the fathers tell it to their children, and so on, the children, they tell it to their children when they get older, when they grow up and they have children, down through the generation, keep telling them how I brought you out of Egypt, how I brought you out of the house of bondage, keep, you know, remember me, remember this, and pass it down through the generations and so on, and everything. So they were taught the word of God. And so hearing the word of God, they knew the word. So now it was time for Joseph to produce. Let's go back to the beginning here in Genesis. Turn with me to Genesis, the 37th chapter. We're still in the 37th chapter. Just go back to the third verse. So now you can have some understanding. Let's go back. Let's go back here. And it says here, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. So now you can see here why, here, how it stirred up jealousy. Because Jacob, which his name was changed to Israel, which means prince, amen, that he loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. So you see why they hated him, and they couldn't speak peaceably unto him, because it looked like all favoritism. Our father, you know, he's our father, our dad too, and he's loving our little brother, you know, more than us. You know, that's not fair, and you know, it's like he's getting special treatment, and so not only that, to add on top of that, in verse 5 it says here, it said that as Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So now that just really stirred at it, you know, threw some more water on top of grease, which don't help when you. You know, you got a grease fire going on. You don't take water and throw it on top of the grease. All it's going to do is going to stir up some even more spread and pop and everything else. That's a no-no. So that's what Joseph did. Joseph, it was already fire stirred, you know, and Joseph went and threw water on top of it and got more of a fire stirred up. So his brothers, they hated him even the more. So, you know, further down in that passage, Joseph began to share his dream and what he dreamed. And so on down here in the word of God, and it says, and skip to verse 8, and his brother said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made have sense to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Even though his father rebuked him, but then his father, by him being the dreamer himself, by him knowing what it is to have visions and so on, especially his encounter with the Lord himself and everything, and how God had dealt with him, how he even had a vision, his father himself, of Jacob. They call it the Jacob's ladder, where he had experienced having a vision of the open heavens. He saw angels descending and ascending. Amen. You know, concerning this ladder, he saw the Lord standing on top of this ladder in this vision that he was having. And that place he called it, I believe it was Bethel, the place where God lives, dwells, amen, the blessed place. And so even though after he rebuked his son, he thought about it for a minute. He said, you know what, he observed, he considered what Joseph had said and had shared. Now, go with me to Genesis, still in Genesis, the 37th chapter. Go with me to the 23rd verse. And now the definition of sins is to bow or homage. You know, to bow or to, you say, pay homage to a person. So Joseph saw that his family was going to do this. God was going to have him, his family, to do this concerning him. Amen. So go to Genesis 37 still, the 23rd verse. I'm going to try to move through this quickly, saints of God, because of the, you know, the time that I have. I want to have some time to be able to pray for those of you. Amen, and encourage some of you on tonight. But in Genesis 37, verse 23, let's get more into get the story here. And it said, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And like I said, I know that a lot of times you feel like when you're going through, you feel like you're in a dry place right now. You feel like you're in a pit, in a hole. You feel like you were stripped of everything. Everything was taken from you. And then you had a nice job, and that was taken from you. All of a sudden, you were laid off, or you were fired unjustly, or whatever the case may be. You were set up or something like that. But anyway, you lost your job, and then you had a place, and you lost it. Your house ended up being a foreclosure, or you lost your vehicle. And that you were paying on and so on, everything, you just weren't able to keep up. And, you know, you just find yourself just losing everything that you had. What I'm saying is, things of God, I've been there. I've been there where I was stripped of everything, I've lost everything, and the first thing that is attacked is your finances. Amen. So when you begin to lose things, amen, your finances get attacked first. So I begin to experience my finances being attacked at. Lost my job unjustly. This was years ago, and I wasn't even at work. So how could you lose a job and not be at work? I was happened to be off sick that day and everything, and I did not know that my coworkers were conspiring to, were planning to actually to walk off the job. I didn't know anything, about it. And I'm at home sick somewhere there. So I get a phone call the next day from somebody coming in, taking over the facility. That during that time, I had worked for DCFS and worked in one of their residential housing for our young boys up to the age from 6 to the age of 12. Then also worked with young teenagers up to the age of 18. But anyway, this particular facility that I was working at and everything, and so I get a phone call saying, you know, for me not to come in, that when I come in to see the supervisor was part of this thing that had happened and taken place. And so finally when I came in, then I was told that I didn't have a job anymore. And so when I went through the experience not having a job, and I was able to go to draw my unemployment and everything, and during that time, I think that you could not file for unemployment again if your unemployment ran out. So I was looking for work and stuff. I couldn't find a job. No, I was coming through. My unemployment ran out. And then next thing you know, like I said, when the first thing that goes, your finances go, then you can't pay for nothing. You can't pay no bills. You can't do anything. I had a new car that I was paying on. I had a couple of more payments left on this car, a few more payments. So I'm driving, riding this car to run errands and everything. And next thing you know, the car on fire. And while we got into the car for running errands to head back home, the car just went up in smoke on me. And I just hurried up and thank God. Everything was automatic. I could have got stuck in the car, but God had a plan and a purpose for my life that he didn't allow anything to happen to me while I was in that car, and that vehicle was going up in flames. Somebody said, pop the wheels, you can save the car. So I'm thinking about this car. Oh, I just want to get away from this vehicle before it explodes or something happened. I just thank God for my life. I didn't even care about the car. Man, so I got away from the car. The car went up in smoke and everything. And so I'm like, two more payments. But guess what? Usually the insurance company, they take care of, the vehicle if something happened, you have an accident or anything that happened with the vehicle that's under the coverage is taken care of. But because, I didn't have no money to pay no bills, pay my insurance, anything, my insurance elapsed, and so nothing could be done. And so after that, then I went to a point where then I received an eviction notice because I was unable to pay for my rent, anything. So I had to get, evicted from where I lived there. So one thing after the other, I began to lose things, and being stripped and, you know, not knowing that God was, you know, was setting me up, but God had to do some things with me. A lot of times you go down, I mean, you got to go down in order to go up. Amen. So Joseph had went down into this pit. The word of God said he was threw into this pit. It seemed like he was stripped, like favor was taken away from him, and so on. His coat, you know, his material things was taken away from him. And it seemed like he was in this dry place, and he was where there was no water and different things going on. Like I said, it feels like you're in a dry place right now, and it seemed like, God, where are you? God, I need you. I'm praying. I'm struggling right now. I'm going through, God. I need some water. I need something to drink. This is not enough. This is not doing anything for me and everything. But let me tell you this, saints of God. Remember, the word of God said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The enemy wants us to believe that God is not with us. Just because we experience it, it seems like a lot of things are happening in our life, then automatically our mind focuses on what we're going through in our life, and we think that God is not with us. The Lord is with us. Let us skip to verse 28. Not only to add on to that, even though the enemy had desired to take Joseph's life to require his blood, but the enemy could not do that because the hand of God was upon his life. And God is not going to allow the enemy to do anything that he don't give him permission to do. Amen. God is bragging on you. That's what I'm trying to say, saints of God. God is bragging on you in heaven. Amen. So somebody ought to get excited about that. But to add on to that matter, in Genesis 37 and 28, it said, then there passed by Midianites a merchantman, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So not only that, his brothers sold him into slavery. Now, on top of that, you went through all that, getting stripped, through a hole. The enemy already want to kill you. Now the enemy found you. He can't really, you know, kill you, do nothing to you. So now he want to cause you to be in a strange place. You feel like even geographically, Joseph was sent to another place. And I know right now it did seem like that to you right now, even though you may not have moved to another place, being, you know, taken off to another place geographically or whatever. But it seems like, you know, you're in slavery right now. You're in bondage right now. Amen. And he's trying to, you know, it seems like you're put in bondage and everything now. So let's read on in the word of God. Let's go to Genesis 39 with me. Now, we're still with Joseph, Genesis 39, and go to the first verse. I'm going to read the first of the nine verse. Not only that, he was sold off into slavery, and he's taken geographically over to Egypt now, over to a place that he's unfamiliar with, unfamiliar territory and everything. And it says in Genesis 39 and 1, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar's, and officers of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Somebody ought to catch that one. All this stuff going on. Joseph sold into slavery, but the word of God says here, verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his masters, the Egyptian. We know the scripture talks about, amen, having nothing but possessing all things. Amen. I'm talking about that of the spirit. It may seem like you don't have nothing in the natural right now, but you have all things. You're rich in the spirit. And God is causing this prosperity that you have in the spirit to begin to catch up with you in the natural realm. It's going to begin to manifest in this natural realm. Amen. But God is prospering you in the spirit. Don't think. You know, God, what God is doing, he's causing his people, he's causing you to know how to walk in a place like Paul made a statement. He said, I learned how to be content in whatsoever state that I'm in. And sometimes, you know, we go through cycles, and sometimes we go through repeating, you know, patterns or repeating certain grades again because we're murmuring, because we're complaining, and we're not giving thanks unto God and giving glory unto him and allowing him to take us through or not learning what God wants us to learn through the midst of this test that we're going through so that we can pass it and go into the next place. Amen. We've been praying. You know, a lot of times we cry. We pray, God, increase my faith. God, I want more of your anointing. God, I want more of your presence. God, I want to go into higher dimensions than you. You're going to pay a price for it. There's a price that you have to pay in order for you to go into the desired place that you want to go in to God. So you got to be tested on. Okay, God, I want to see if you're ready to go into this next place, into this next realm, this next dimension in me, or I want to see if your mind mature for it. I want to see if you're mentally ready and prepared for it to go into this place. And because God's not going to put, you know, allow you to walk into a place that you're not ready for, and all you're going to do is shipwreck, and you're going to cause others to shipwreck because now you're walking in the place that you don't even have the grace for. So that's why when you go through a certain thing, God is releasing grace in your life because you've been there. Now you can be able to take some, be able to minister to other people and help bring other people's deliverance because you have already been there. You've been there in that place, so the Lord will be able to do that for you. Again, more grace is being released in your life. So here again, Joseph, the Lord prospered him. The Lord was with him. That's the key thing. Verse 3 said, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. See, not only that, but God, with people, but see, you can be looking at what you don't have. When people looking at you, they envy you, they jealous of you. Man, the Lord is with you. God is blessing you. Like what? You're just so busy looking at material stuff. You feel like your prosperity is based off of material things. Jesus made a statement. He said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of that which he have. Religion teach that. Religious folks, self-righteous folks teach that, that your salvation or your blessings is predicated off what you have material. Because you have gained all this stuff, material goods, and that is based off of God's approval on your life. I can tell you, I can know some people that have a lot of things and they're full of the devil. Don't have no peace, no joy, or nothing, and yet they're professing Jesus Christ. Their character is all, you know, messed up. You know, you know they don't have no love. They're mean. They look like they've been sucking on a sour lemon and so on. You know, don't smile and all that, and have a bunch of material stuff, but they're not rich in the spirit. I mean, they don't have no peace or nothing and everything. And then men will look at that and say, that's God's blessing. That's God's approval. The Word of God said, why gain the whole world and lose your soul? But yes, God, again, God can bless us to have these things, but God don't want these things to have us. Well, we're lost. That's why he made a statement that he did in Deuteronomy 8 chapter when he said, remember me, remember how I brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, out of that. Remember how I kept you in the wilderness where your shoes, they didn't no holes. I preserved you. Your clothes were preserved. They wandered for years. And then no holes even get in their shoes. There was no holes. Their clothes did not even wear out. But God said, I just want you to remember me. Don't forget about me. And that's why a lot of us going through what we're going through, because God want to make sure that we remember him and don't forget him when he blesses us, when he brings us into that place of promise, and when he releases what he has promised for our life, so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be part of financing the kingdom, so we can be a blessing to others and help others, help the poor, because that's what God gives us. Of wealth. That's why God gave us power to get wealth. Amen. So that he may establish a covenant with us as he did unto our fathers. Amen. It's to be a blessing. That's why God blesses us. That's what he wants us to get. He wants us to get this thing, beloved. He don't want us to hoard up the blessings. He don't want us to be prideful, looking down on other people, saying, you know what, here's, I paid the price for the jest you paid the price for. But at the same time, God wants you to not think about yourself. Think about think about David when they were out to war and they came back. Their daughters, their wives, their sons were taken while they were out. Then another enemy came in and took and stole from them. And then the men of God, they got upset and mad at him, at David. We out here fighting with you, and the enemy come in and take our family. And so they want to turn around and stone him. And so imagine how David felt and what he was going through. So he just went and just started inquiring of the Lord. And he got an ephod from one of the priests. And start seeking the Lord, and asking the Lord, shall I pursue? Will I overtake? And will I recover all? And the Lord told him, yes, pursue. Oh, you, and you will overtake, and you shall recover all. And when David received that word from the Lord, he went to go and tell the men of God, the men of war, that, let's go, we're going to pursue, we're going to overtake, we're going to recover all. And when we recover all, we're going to come back, and we're going to be a blessing to those that cannot go with us to fight, those that were wounded in battle, those that were hurt, could not go back out to fight. So a lot of those men got upset with David. Like, what? You mean give them some of the spoils too? We going out and fight for these spoils? So that showed you right there that David was not selfish. He said, even though they could not go out to fight anything, they're still going to be partakers of this. And that's the way God wants us to be. So a lot of times we have to fight. Like I said, we were fighting for other people. When we in warfare, when saints of God, we are in spiritual warfare. You're not just in warfare for yourself, but you're in warfare for other people. You're fighting some battles that some other people don't even have to fight or don't have to go into war into, because you have already paid the price. That's why you have some people that went on before that have already paid the price, that have went through some things that we don't even have to go through. That's why if they pray for us, notice you experience certain breakthroughs in your life just like that, because they have already paid the price for it. They have already been there. They have suffered. amen, some things. They went through some things. That's why it seems so easy for them when you begin to pray for somebody else, because you paid the price for it. But getting back to the Word of God, amen, I know my time is winding up here, but let's get back into the Word of God real quick here. In Genesis, reading on, it said, and it came, and it said, Joseph found grace in the sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had. He put his hands to. So everything that Joseph touched prospered. Amen. The Word of God said that that he would cause to prosper in every area of our life, and that we lay our hands forth to do it, will prosper. In Deuteronomy, I believe, the Word of God says that. And that's what was happening with Joseph. Joseph began to be put in a position of authority. Amen. Favor was resting upon him. He was being promoted. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake, and blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You know, somebody, the workplace is blessed because of you. Business is prospering because of you. Amen. Saints of God. Amen. Because God's favor rests upon you, because the Lord is with you. God's blessing the works of your hand. Your boss business is prospering because of you. Amen. Praise God. Somebody ought to catch that one. Amen. But Joseph was put in this position of authority. And guess what? And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. See, again, Joseph was well favored. Going down further in this chapter, amen, let's go down here. Let's read a little bit further. And it says here, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So now Joseph, he's being tempted. See, God don't tempt you. You're being tested, but he don't tempt. That's when the enemy comes to tempt you. Read it for yourself in James 1. Go with me. You know what? Go with me quickly to James, the first chapter. I believe it's at the 18th verse, because I want, the saints of God to get understanding, because sometimes we get it twisted. Saying, so sometimes we're saying God is tempting me, God is causing me to be tempted. No, we're going to get this clear today through the Word of God here, that God does not tempt any man. So go with me quickly to James, the first chapter. Amen. Start at the 12th verse and say, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And it said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then the lust have conceived. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Amen. Go back and read it for yourself. James, the first chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse. Now, that's the Word of God right there. James said it through the Word. God does not tempt any man. Amen. That's the enemy that's doing that. So here's Joseph being tempted. And so, again, when temptation comes, amen, the enemy want to try to, come at you and so on and everything. What's in you, it's going to come forth. The Word of God said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of that person. Amen. So that was going on. So the enemy was coming to come at David to tempt him, Joseph, to tempt him. And Joseph, what did he do? The Word of God said that he fled. He ran. So then Joseph was accused. So we know that Satan is an accuser of the brethren. So he was, he was accused because he didn't lie with Potiphar's wife. So she lied on him. And so many of you do experience person lying on you. Like I said, my wife and I, we experienced that. We went through some months ago with a person in the ministry that did that, that lied on us and sowed discord in our ministry. And we wonder why people, certain people acting funny, looking at us funny and this and that, and why certain people aren't there, no more at the ministry and everything. And then we kind of seem to find out what's going on, what happened. And somebody told us this particular person had collected, gathered up their numbers, and we wonder why they was getting their numbers after service and everything. And then come to find out they were sowing discord about us, and they accused my wife because we let this person, we were working with this person, like I said, in ministry, for ministry and everything, because they had the call of God on their life and wanted to see, what they had and everything. And so they accused my wife of stealing. My wife had taken up an offering for this person that had ministered, and the offering was, kind of small and everything. So my wife took out of from our general offering to place into the speaker's offering. And so this person, I guess they was watching or looking or something like that, and they said my wife had took out of she said that my wife had took out of her offering, and she accused my wife of stealing from her and everything, and then try to get others to conspire so that they to get them to agree with her to say yes, we saw her stealing too, taking the money too and everything, and then also this person, particular person, said they went to another church and got confirmation from the man of God, called them out and said somebody has been stealing from you. And I tell you, the enemy can play tricks with your mind. He'll let you hear what you want to hear, what you're looking for to hear. So she went to hear what she was looking for to hear, which was not true, man, concerning us. And little did this person know, they didn't know that we're the ones that had been sliding money up under their doors anonymously, being a blessing to them, and so on. I think my wife was doing that and everything, and so on. And this particular person, we were kind of like, you know, going through financially and stuff like that. We really didn't have the gas money. We'd take this person to the appointments and stuff and everything, do things and be a blessing, not looking for anything in return, man, saints of God, because we knew where our blessing was coming from. We knew this person was kind of, you know, going through and stuff financially and stuff like that, so we were trying to be a blessing. Like I said, help this person, help bring this person out of the state of mind that they were in concerning cursing people and negative speaking and so on. So God have sent us into this particular person's life to bring forth deliverance into this particular person's life. Amen. But so we experienced that being light on. Then this person wrote in, a nasty letter cursing us, cursing the ministry, cursing us and everything. But the word of God said the enemy cannot curse, and nobody curse when God is blessed. So my wife and I, we are blessed. Amen. The ministry is blessed. So, you know, we don't know that the enemy cannot curse us. But like I say, saints of God, when you start doing it, you're walking in the realm of being a witch and a warlock, when you go around cursing folks, and God don't want you to do that. Amen. God wants you to bless. Again, he wants you to bless and curse not, because he will deal with your enemy. He said, vengeance, leave that place to me. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Amen. Getting back into the word of God, I may not be able to finish this all. I know my time is just about wrapped up, but I'm just a few minutes more. Just give me a few more minutes, saints of God, here. And it says here in the word of God, in 39, in verse 20, we went 39, go to verse 20 in the word of God. And it said, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison on a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. So now you hear Joseph is in prison now because of a lie, something that was not true. He was placed into prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. There it goes again. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor again in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So Joseph, even in prison, God favored him. He was found in a position of authority again, and he was blessed, even in the prisoner. And then when you skip to Genesis, go to Genesis 40, in verse 8, and it talks about the butler, his encounter with the butler and the baker, and then Joseph began to interpret their dreams and so on and everything. But in verse 14, it talks about how the enemy, you know, he wants to abort your mission, what God has promised you prematurely, because when Joseph interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, and so he said, well, and we know that one of them was hung, one of them didn't make it. We know that the butler, the cupbearer, went back, he restored his position. But Joseph was telling the person, remember, he told the king about me to get me out of this place. So if he would have told the king right then and there, you know, why he's out, you know, because of his soul and everything, and how Joseph interpreted that dream for him and everything, and that's why he had told him, foresaw, interpreted that to him, that he was going to be restored back into his position. The king would have released him. Joseph would have aborted his mission. Joseph would have aborted what God had in store for him, because Joseph would have went on a found some kind of way to get back home. And God's plans for his life would have been aborted. That's what the enemy had wanted. But God was like, no, when God is in operation, when God is in control of something, when God knows best for us, God intentionally allowed the man to forget about Joseph and not remember him into a situation arose where we know that Pharaoh had a dream. Amen. In Genesis 41. Amen. And he needed someone to interpret that dream. So I'm kind of skipping going ahead so I can wrap this up and close it up. But anyway, the points that I'm making here, we know that, Joseph, his brothers, they envied him. They were angry. They was upset with him. And know that that's what the enemy would do concerning you when God's hands rest upon your life. Amen. There's going to be envy. There's going to be jealousy there. Some people are going to be hating on you. And then next thing you know, you're going to be accused, lied on, and so on and everything. And then in Revelation 12 and 10, again, it talks about the accuser of the brethren in Zechariah 3, 1 through 4. It talks about Joshua, the high priest, he was, how Zechariah had a vision of Joshua standing and how Satan was there to resist him and how he was accusing him before God our Father. And the Lord had to rebuke him. Amen. Concerning him accusing Joshua. So again, the enemy is accusing you and making accusations concerning you before our Father. And then point two is God favored Joseph, and Joseph, you know, he was overseer of all Potiphar's house and in jail. God's favor is with you. Point three, and your gift will make room for you. You hear that? And your gift will make room for you and get you to your appointed place of destiny and what God has promised, you know, through your obedience and forgiveness towards others, like Joseph had to forgive his brothers. He forgave his brothers. And God is going to test you. Amen. Again, it goes back to either the test will draw you closer to God, or it will cause you to be grateful and thankful, or it will do the opposite. There's no in between. Either it's going to draw you closer, you're going to be grateful, thankful, bless God, and come closer to him, or you're either going to become bitter, angry, blame God and others, and then turn away from God. That's what's going to happen. We know the story, saints of God. Joseph came in and interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, and Joseph was the second in command in the government position, government office, and he was able to, like I say, bring his family and forgive his brothers. He forgave his brother. We know the story where he forgave his brothers and everything, and he brought his whole family. So God had strategically set it up, you know, for him to do that. But he had to be prepared for that position. He was made, he was molded. He had to be on the potter's wheel. He had to go through. He had to pay a price to be in that position that God has ordained for his life. So you have to pay a price. Saints of God, that's what I'm trying to say. You're going to pay a price to be and to walk in the high call. And that which is in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind. He had to forget those things that are behind. He had to reach for those things that were ahead. He had to press on the mark of the prize of the high call. And that. And so God had a purpose. God was doing it not for him. Not just to put him in that position so that he can sit up and be fat and say, hey, I'm in this position of authority. No, so that he can bring the children of Israel into their place. Because remember, when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, there was going to be a famine in the land for 7 years. And so God always looks out for his people. God always has someone in position that will bring his people in, that will be obedient. To bring his people in. Like I said, you know, you heard me time and time again on this broadcast, you'll always hear me say that it's bigger than you. It's not about just you being blessed, but it's others being blessed. There's a bigger picture. It's bigger than you, saints of God. Amen. Because there's others that God wants to bless and to bring in to this. Amen. Their blessing, their destiny, and so on is connected to your obedience. It's connected to you, not only the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan for your life, but for other people to walk into their purpose and destiny in their life. I don't understand and get it why you have some saints of God, but you know, they come into the church and they're only thinking about themselves. They're just consumers. Gimme, 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 takers. Gimme, 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 gimme. Not thinking about anybody else. Just want my family to be blessed, me to be blessed, and so on. I'm not thinking about anybody else. No, God don't want us to change our mindset, attitude from thinking like that. God wants us to get into a habit of seeing other people blessed. Amen. And be givers and so on. And not just on me and my family. We the only one, you know, just us. I'm just only thinking about us going to heaven. No, God wanted that attitude. I want to try to lead as many people as I can, amen, to, you know, so that they can make it into the kingdom, into heaven, not just thinking about myself. And Jesus, like I said, he wasn't thinking about himself. I mean, God, when he gave his only begotten son, he wasn't thinking about himself, amen. He gave him for the world, not just for a particular race or denomination, amen. He said, for God so loved the world, so I don't understand all his division in the body of Christ when it comes to denomination, when it comes to doctrine, because, you know, you're not this particular denomination. You know, we are all black church and you know, the African pride and so on and everything, and we're not mixing and so on and everything. We're just only sticking, you know, with our particular denomination or the Anglo-Saxon church and so on and everything. God, for God so loved the world, somebody need to go back and read your word. Go back and read the word of God again, John 3:16. Amen. For God so loved the world. You just say he just loved a particular group. He loved the world. That what? He don't want none of us to perish, but that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. Well, saints of God, that is my time. I went over my time. Those of you that may not know Jesus Christ and you want to confess him as your Lord and as your Savior, it's your opportunity to do so. Just repeat after me. Amen. Just say this, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. And I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin, that you thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. In Romans 10 and 9, it says, if you confess with your lip and believe your heart, God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that you're saved. Amen. Saints of God, you're saved. Amen. The heaven and our beloved, the angels in heaven are rejoicing in heaven over you. I pray that you are blessed on tonight. I'm going to turn it back over to Prophetess Teresa. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prophetess Teresa?
Praise the Lord, man of God. Glory to God. This is Evangelist Hannah. What a message, God.
Oh, God bless you.
Tonight. Apostle, as usual, glory to God. We just appreciate you and your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. Glory to God. And if you're on the line or you're on the internet, or if you hear this message later in the archives, you can let us know that you accepted Christ. And we will send you a Bible, or we will send you an MP3 player of the Bible. Glory to God. And you can go to www.kingdombuildersplaza@yahoo.com and let us know. We would love to pray for you, and we would love to stand in the faith fight with you. Glory to God. As the Apostle Man of God said, you are not alone. It's about us sowing into other people's lives. Because I just think that we just get into a place in God where we know that everything that we need is taken care of, so we will have more confidence and feel more comfortable of praying and laboring for others, and then God would even add on more to you because you're not being selfish. Glory
Amen.
To God. Glory to God. And it's a that place we can get there. Because no matter what's going on around me in my world, what I have, what I don't have, I have to pray for other people. I have to intercede for other people. Can you really turn down your plate and not fast for you, but fast for somebody else so they can come into the kingdom, so they can get free? Glory to God. And again, I thank you, Apostle, for the awesome word. And it's just when you spoke on Joseph, and last night I was sleepy, but Joseph came on TVN.
Oh, wow.
And I watched it all night long, and it ministered to me. And then you came forth tonight with the same word, giving me nuggets at other points. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So at this time, I'm going to open up the lines. If anyone want to come forth with comments or a prayer request, you may come forth now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Evangelist. How are you? This is Prophetess Marcella. And how are you, Apostle?
Oh, God bless you. Good.
Well, I didn't get on to for a prayer request. Well, in a way, I guess I did. Actually, I really enjoy what I did here. I'm sorry I got on kind of late. I was in class, and I really was blessed by the word of God. You took your time and you really explained details, you know. And I noticed how you actually teach. And it's so awesome and so blessed. And I also agree with you, Evangelist, because a lot of times when people know that you are fasting and praying, that they think it's something that you want from God. But most of the time, it's for other people, it's for lost souls. It's for people that's going through trials and tribulations, and you know that they need strength, you know, and they're just at their last end of things. So I totally agree with both of you all. And God, okay, so the prayer request would be that the conference that's coming here next week or this weekend, that we will see souls being blessed, people receiving salvation, people be healed and set free in the name of Jesus, and that we cover the children in the blood of Jesus Christ, because there's so much happening to our children of tomorrow. So that's my prayer request, and I praise you, the Lord. Was awesome again, and I truly, truly enjoyed it. God bless.
Amen. Well, we just agree concerning this conference, this event. To God be the glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you give the glory. Out of this, Lord, even as you said, the souls be saved, because it's all about the souls being added to the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this end time move, God. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your favor. And your blessings being upon this, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, even if I pray, Lord, that this be something, Father God, be something continual, Lord, in the name of Jesus. There, like a base established there, God, concerning this event, like concerning an intercession, warfare, where a place where people will be taught and gather up any information or in revelation and how to best utilize that which you have given them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, concerning our intercession, concerning this walk of life, Lord, and how to be a conqueror. And how to intercede and stand in the gap for others, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Because that's what standing in the gap, that's what prayer and intercession is all about, is standing in the gap for somebody else, as if you were that person that cannot pray for themselves, that cannot intercede for themselves, as you're praying, as if you were them, amen, and for their deliverance and their salvation. And but we thank you for it right now, God, and we just pray, Lord, that there be a mighty outpouring of your spirit, Lord, that it be like as the vision that Jacob had, God, the open eye vision that he had concerning, Lord God, the angels descending and ascending, God, in the name of Jesus, a Jacob experience, God, there in their midst, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God, amen and amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. If there's anyone else on the line that has a prayer request or a comment, you may come forth now. Glory, God. Well, God, you know you are truly worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And Apostle Flowers comes on every first Monday and third Monday of the month. So September, he will be on September 3rd, Labor Day, and September the 17th. Glory to God. Apostle, can you give out some information concerning your ministry and any upcoming events that you are having?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, we have service every Sunday at 3 p.m. at 11201 South Cottage Grove Avenue. And that's in Chicago, Illinois, 6068 in the upper room. Amen. Where myself, Apostle Flowers, and Prophet Angel Flowers, we are the senior pastors. And also on Tuesday, at 7 p.m. We have service Tuesday at 7 p.m. That's our service, prophetic service, of fire, healing, deliverance, curse breaking, you name it. Amen. We try to do everything in that service as the Spirit of God leads us and give the word of the Lord at the same location at 7 p.m. But also this Tuesday we're having a special guest speaker, which is actually our overseer, Apostle Jesse L. Miller from East Chicago, Indiana. Amen. He moves in the prophetic gifts of the Spirit. He's a prophetic seer. Miracles and supernatural. He has a supernatural ministry. The kingdom message that he's going to be ministering on tomorrow, which is healing in the body. God wants to prosper the total man, health, finances, family, ministry, and business. Business is complete restoration. He also established Word I Am, which is the acronym for Word International Apostleship Ministries, which is in East Chicago, Indiana. Amen. That's what we are part of. Repair the Breach International Ministries is a part of. He also... the network is also a covering ministry which oversees other ministries, amen, that's in the network. He has an international ministry. He travels throughout the United States to minister the word of the Lord. And also, too, if you want to get a chance to listen to him, if you by the internet, if you're in Chicago, listen to him on the radio, or you can just pick him up on the internet. His broadcast is called The Voice of Healing. He's on every Wednesday. Central Standard Time, Chicago time, 15:07 a.m. WBGX Gospel Radio from 1 to 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. And amen. For more, every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30 p.m. 1570 AM Gospel Radio. Amen. So if you need more information concerning our ministry, concerning any upcoming events, you want to be on the emailing list, if you're in the Chicagoland area or in the suburbs, anything, you can contact us at area code 773-888-3356. And one more announcement, we're going to be partnering up with Integrity and Praise Ministry with Apostle Gregory L. Peterson and Pastor James Peterson and many other apostles and prophets, and we're going to have prayer and worship, and this is geared to dedicating to reaching our men, which Jesus told, according to Matthew 28, and Chen told Mary to go and tell the brethren that I've risen and to meet me in Galilee. You have time to just go back and read the scripture, and our purpose is to go out to the streets and minister to the souls of men. Women not exempt from the move, but the men are the target. Each church involved in this movement will minister and pass out information from their own church. We will go out at approximately 2:30 on the same day of the impartation service. There will be a designated areas where we will minister to be part of this evangelistic move. You want to be a part of this. You're in the Chicagoland area, suburb, Indiana. You want to be a part. You're going to talk to your pastor, a leader. If you're a pastor, you're listening, your leader. You want to be a part of this. You can contact us at area code 312-282-0579. That's 312-282-0579. Or email at integrityofpraise1@yahoo.com. That's integrityofpraise1@yahoo.com. And the place we're going to be at is going to be at 7353 South Cisco Avenue at the Sheraton Hotel. That's September the 29th. This event takes place September the 29th at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel, 7353 South Cisco Avenue. The time is going to be at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Like I said, we're going to be praying, worshiping. The apostles and prophets are going to come together. We're going to begin to release impartation into the women, activate them, charge them. We're going to be with the women of God. And again, we want to encourage those of you that want to be a part of this to call that number and bring literature again from your church. It's not a one-man thing. It's geared towards this is a kingdom move. So that's why I want you to bring literature from your church, and you can pass out literature and let people know, you know, where you're at. So, because you may run into somebody that may be in your area or may want to, you know, come to your ministry. So that's why we're doing it this way. Prophetic evangelism. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So if you are in the Chicagoland area or Indiana, or you know someone that you think would like to participate, let them know. Call the man of God. Glory to God. And again, we appreciate you and thank you, Apostle Flowers. We thank everyone that has called in. We thank God for all our internet listeners. And right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just cover the apostle in your blood, Lord God. I bind up every spirit of backlash or retaliation, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against him or his wife, Angel, his children, or his home shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for continuing to supply every need for the man of God and for his ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. And I don't see you, God. Glory, God. We just, I just thank you tonight for the men of God. I just ask you, Lord, to continue, Lord God, to release your warfare and angels to warfare on his behalf, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for the new level that you're taking his ministry in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I thank you for faithful servants unto you, Lord God, that you are bringing into his ministry from the north and the south and the east and the west. Faithful servants that want to be laborers for you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Glory to your name, God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. And thank God and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, woman of God.
Thank you, Father. And again, Kingdom Builders International has intercessory prayer every morning, 5 to 6. I'm sorry, on Tuesdays and Friday morning. Okay, I'm speaking it into existence. It will be every morning. But Tuesdays and Friday morning, and you can join in. Glory to God. And the number you will call is 1 minute, glory to God. And you have to go on KingdomBuildersPlaza.com, .org, and see how the Lord used Prophetess Teresa to put the website together. We are developing links for all the speakers that come on Blog Talk. We'll have a link. So if you go to www.kingdombuilderspastor.org, we haven't finished that yet. And all you have to do is click on his link, and you will get all the information pertaining to any speaker that comes on Blog Talk. Glory to God. And intercessory prayer line number is 218-895-0280. Again, 218-895-0280, and the code is 7729, and that is the word prayer. Glory to God. And we look forward to come on the line and to see with us, stand in the gap for others. Glory to God. Man of God, do you have any last words before we off the line?
Amen. That said, I just want to encourage the people of God again. Just go with God, be blessed, and continue to be in high expectation concerning that which God has promised them, that he is faithful. With Abraham striking out at the promises of God, he was fully persuaded that God was able to perform that which he had said.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And again, Kingdom Builders International love you guys, but God love you even more. And you all continue to have a blessed evening.
Amen. God bless you.